Adrian, how are we doing today?
We're doing great, Drew. How about you guys?
Doing well, doing about as good as we can. So thank you so much for asking. A couple of things that I wanted to get into. We're in that time of year where obviously in the new year 2022, we're starting to look forward. Now we're seeing ads for the Masters, and the anticipation of having full crowds back at these events is buzzing. What major are you looking forward to the most, though, in 2022?
Well, Drew, it's always Masters. Not only is it the first tournament, first major of the year, but it's always tops on my list. But the idea, just the anticipation that Tiger might play in the British at St. Andrews, that tops that right up to a close second. So I'm just excited, like you, to see Masters get back, to get things in a full swing kind of mode. And Masters first, British Open second this year, especially because the possibility that Mr. Tigre might tee it up.
Yeah, that always adds to the excitement. And then as soon as it is announced, if he is or whatever, if he is, then obviously, the buzz just grows and grows and grows from there. But, there's a lot of good talent out there in golf, and I know that we've covered this topic before, but there's young golfers, there's guys who are hitting their peak, who are even in their, lower 30s or upper 20s. But who is somebody that this year on the tour, or maybe just from a major perspective, people can look for, maybe a name that is a diamond in the rough, if you will, that not many people would expect to be at the top of, a lot of people's radar?
You can look at Sam Burns. You can look at Daniel Berger. These two young guys have had some success early in their career. They hit the ball a long way. They've got really good touches around the greens, and nothing gets success more than having some success on a big stage. And both of these young men have had those things happen to them this past year. So, keep your eye out on Sam Burns. Keep your eye out on Daniel Berger. There's some. I don't remember seeing across the board so much young talent popping up. They're coming out of college, maybe a year on the Korn Ferry, and maybe not. But they're all seasoned when they get there. And then with the fact that they've got such a great skill set and the confidence from previous successes, we could be in for a lot of new names. Somebody might, take their career off this year.
Yeah, and one of the golfers who a lot of people know very well, Bryson DeChambeau, he withdrew from the Century Tournament of Champ or from the Sony Open after the Tournament of Champions. They're playing there this weekend. The report is that he was battling wrist soreness. This is something I feel like, is this one of those injuries where, like in sports like soccer or football or even basketball, the ankle injuries are always a big concern. How big are wrist concern or how big are wrist injuries in the game of golf? Obviously, a lot of it, dealing with holding onto the club and contact and battling some wrist soreness seems to be one of those injuries that can nag you, similar to how an ankle might bother you, or like a turf toe in football.
Yeah, that's a big deal. It's a big deal. I mean, as soon as Bryson took on this quest of trying to hit it 400 yards and reshaping the game as we know it, one, people didn't think he could pull it off, and he did. And then two, what kind of wear and tear down the line this might affect him going forward. And I hope, I really hope, because I think he's exciting. I think he brings a lot to the game. But hopefully, I hope it's more of a minor thing, and he just needs to ice it and get some rest. But you got to figure, anybody swinging a golf club that fast, that hard, and that often would tend to lend themselves to injuries like this. So let's just kind of hope for the best for him and for golf.
Yeah, I think him being healthy is just good for the game of golf. You know, as it seems like, you know, there's a lot of, you know, possible controversy with you know, him and Brooks Koepka that has gone on and on. But in a way, I think that it is something that in a way is good for golf. Maybe not I think the rivalry part might be great. Now, them obviously, you know, stepping on each other's toes, maybe not the best look. But I think from a entertainment standpoint, I feel like the true golf fans who are really into it in the first place don't maybe not won't like this as much, but it could draw eyes to the sport. And speaking of drawing eyes, I don't know if you saw this, Adrian, but Netflix apparently is teaming up with the PGA Tour and golf's majors for a quote-unquote immersive docu-series with a glittering cast of players. Now, this is similar to Formula One has this Drive to Survive series, which is, you know, buzzed popularity here, particularly in the States. But what can a series like this, where they get into the lives a little bit of what it's like to be a PGA or what it's like to be a PGA Tour player, do for the casual fan who might play golf but they don't really pay too much attention, or for a fan who or for somebody who never really has even watched golf before?
You know, I think it could bring more people into the game, the insight of that side of things. You know, unlike team sports, golf being an individual thing, you know, all we see is the top players on the PGA Tour on the weekends, and telecast kind of lends itself to those guys. But people don't know the background stories of what these guys go through. I've experienced it, obviously, but the fact that if you choose to do this as a profession for your life, your chances of getting struck by lightning almost is the same as being able to be super successful on the PGA Tour. When I got my tour card, there were like 3,100 people trying to get 50 spots. Now you've got the Korn Ferry Tour and stuff that you can go on to, but they don't understand and don't know the stories about these guys, what they have to go through to have the money and the support to even try to pursue this profession. And I think it'll be great for the game for people to be able to see that side of stuff. They'll have a better appreciation of the guys that even try it, and then the ones that obviously have been successful with it. So I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, and this list of players who they're going to follow, you know, it is not like it's just some cookie cutter list. Abraham Answer, Daniel Berger, Cameron Champ, Tony Finau, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood, Ricky Fowler, Sergio Garcia, Victor Hovland, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Colin Morikawa. I mean, you're going to get, including Justin Thomas and Bubba Watson, Pensacola Zone. I mean, there are a lot of quality top of the list golfers. There are some other ones as well who they're going to follow that are a little bit, you know, lower, I guess, in terms of the rankings. They are following the number one ranked amateur, Keita Nakajima, which is going to be interesting to follow him as well in his journey to play the first majors of his career. So I think this is phenomenal, Adrian, just for golf doesn't necessarily need any more exposure. I don't think they already get a decent amount of it, but this is going to only enhance things a little bit more, I think, and really draw people's attention in to what it's like to be a PGA Tour player, as you mentioned, which we really don't get to know much about at all whatsoever.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Drew. It's an untapped source of insight that I really, really think it will get people's attention because, you'd be amazed what people go through to try to do this. You get out of college, you have great pedigree and success, and then, okay, so I got to find somebody or some company that puts up $100,000 for me to even try this. And then once I do this, you know, the things that you have to go through. I mean, I can totally relate. when I got out of college and moved to Orlando to play the mini tour golf and stuff like that, I did a lot of side jobs before I got myself established, working at a top teaching facility. I did landscaping. I worked as a sky captain, Orlando International, different things that just kind of keep myself going. And even though that was a long time ago, there's a lot of guys and a lot of stories out there. Tony Pinal, for instance, never went to college. I got a chance to play with him when he was, before he got on tour. And he told me some stories of stuff that he did. His big opportunity, big break was winning a big-time thing in Mesquite, Nevada that got him $100,000 or $50,000 to keep going. But those things are intriguing. I think it'll show the tenacity and the hard work and tenacity and the belief that these guys have in themselves, regardless of where their circumstances are, that they endeavored and kept going. So I think that's a great idea.
One more thing to note, Cody, with the world of golf, and not necessarily Osceola, but in the world of Florida golf and also just golf in general with the PGA Tour, Tim Rosefort passing away after a battle with Alzheimer's. Just growing up, my brother and I always watching the Golf Channel. Really enjoyed or seeing, Tim was always a familiar face, if you will, for the Golf Channel and his coverage. And I just wanted to, to get your thoughts on Tim and if you had, ever crossed paths and if you had ever, come across Tim.
I did actually. When I lived in Orlando, I did a couple Golf Channel Academy Talk live shows, but that was before Tim got on board. And then as I moved to Pensacola and certain things kind of happened where they would, I got interviewed by him. I saw him at the PGA show 2 or 3 years in a row. Ultimate professional, kind, concerning, great heartfelt person. And we lost a good one there. He loved the game and loved what he did, and he was really, really good at what he did. Jaime Diaz and I were talking about that a couple of days ago. I didn't know all the stuff was going on. He just kind of fell off the radar, a couple of years ago. But we lost a great one and at a very, very young age. My heart goes out to his family.
What are some things that people can be looking for at Osceola? Is there anything new or different from last week? I know that you had said, some of the sod was getting figured out, and you were just continuing, to work and make the golf course as good as possible.
Boy, I tell you what, I grew up on this golf course, and we've been very, very fortunate to have people supporting us over the years. I've been back as general manager for 16 years now. And this spring, we're going to be in the best shape that place has ever been. We've been very, very fortunate to have the reconfiguration of the golf course, the range, the best teaching area and practice area in the city. And then we were fortunate enough to receive a bunch of sod for the Maritime Park. A bunch. So we are in the process now of finishing up laying down roughly about 280 rolls of sod in all of our weak areas. I encourage people to come out to see us. Things are in the best shape they've been in and since I've been back in 16 years. And in springtime, we're going to have a great product for the city of Pensacola. So I encourage everybody to come out and enjoy the facility.
That is great to hear, Adrian. Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Appreciate it. Have a fantastic weekend, and we will talk to you next week.
All right. Do all the best, man. You guys stay safe and stay healthy, and I'll keep doing what you're doing. Thank you so much.